A phrase all comes back to me when I used to walk the streets as a policeman, not anything else. I had to, didn't I? But I never felt any fear like obviously they do these days when they're on their own or even in twos. The only time we got coupled up was on a Friday and Saturday night when they were turning the pubs out. And even then it was usually a whore night officer type of thing. And sometimes inebriated ladies would like to kiss me. I never let it on mind. They go through a lot today, much more than I ever used to. But even so, even in my day, policemen were killed and ambulance men were kicked and stamped and what have you. But not so much in hospitals, I believe. It was although there was a lots of furore in the A&E because of people having to wait, people used to get rather riled up, and I can understand that when I've been in A&E. But anyway, that's all sideways. Today I'm going to look at judgment and rewards. Seems rather appropriate, doesn't it? Judgment and rewards. I don't know how many of you have ever been to court. Not as a defendant, of course, but just as observers. But there is a sort of richness about it when you're there and the magistrates walk in and they all stand there, then they bow, and the clerks bow like that. And it's even more so in the Crown Court, where himself, or usually himself, walks in his red robe and a grey wig, and you know who's in charge. And several times I was in that position of having to give evidence. And it's a lonely place in that witness box. Every eye is upon you, and every ear is listening to what you're going to say. And especially the barristers, how can I trip him up? I didn't like the way that he said that, or something of that nature. And why am I telling you all this? Is because I'm going to talk about judgment for a few minutes. If no one has ever been to a court, that's down here. But when we get the other side of death or rapture, that's the word I was looking for, we are all going to stand in a court, and the justice is the Lord Jesus. There are two courts going to be held, and one is the one just after the rapture, I believe, for the saints, and only for the saints, those who believe in Jesus Christ. The one I want to avoid at all costs is the Great White Throne. If you have to go there, you're already condemned, which is an awful thing, because we know what happens afterwards. You've been condemned. There's an eternity of torment in the lake of fire. And the people walking around outside there now have no idea what's going to happen to them unless we tell them. But why is there going to be a judgment for Christians? I mean, we believe. We do our little bit here and there. But even so, Jesus is going to hold a court. And every single Christian in this judgment seat, in front of this judgment seat, is going to have to give an account of what we've done in the body as Christians. And who gave permission for Jesus to hold a court? Father God, no less. Now, there is a scripture which I haven't looked up, but Jesus did say, the Father has committed all judgment to me, and he is the one, the judge, we're all going to face. And I can tell you, it will be not a very pleasant experience, I don't think, because Jesus is going to comb your Christian life, my Christian life, to see what we've done in the body. Now, I know I've got a bag full of scriptures here, but I just want to talk about it. Jesus wants to know, and I think he'll want all of us to know, what I've been doing as a Christian in the body of Christ for as long as I have been a Christian, which is several years now, more than a few months. And the things that you did, and the things that you didn't do, and the chances we took, and the chances we didn't take to witness to others, to tell them about the Lord. And I think Jesus will say, why didn't you do that? And I can imagine me going, but it won't be to any avail for us to try and evade questions, because Jesus, like a good solicitor, will pick out the bones. We will not get away with anything. But the judgment seat of Christ is really not to condemn, because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know? There is no condemnation. And we're not going to be tried for our sins. Thank goodness for that. But we still have to keep praying and repenting of sins that we do, even small ones and even bigger ones, because Jesus is going to give rewards. Now, there will be some people, I don't think anyone here, who has just been born again. End of story. You've never lifted a finger to help anyone become a Christian. You've not gone out and helped and witnessed to anyone. They've just been born again. And that's all. So their reward will be as though you're not going to get anything, but you'll still be able to be in heaven, but it'll be as though you've been tried through a fire. I don't know whether there'll actually be some sort of fire at the side of the Lord when he's, but I would think that, as it says in Revelation, there's a description of Jesus, and he was tall, he was imposing, his hair was white, so I'm all right for that, whiter than snow. He had a garment on to the ground, and a golden sash across his chest, and his eyes were like flaming fire. And those flaming fires of Jesus will pierce everyone standing in front of him. But you'll still be saved, even if you've done nothing except come to the Lord in repentance and faith. He knows all our motives, every single one of them. He knows why we did it, why we didn't do it. You know, there's a bit of a silly story about this. Is God watching you? Does he know everything that you do every day, every moment of every day? Well, yes, he does. There's a story about a Catholic school, and at the canteen, it's a long, obviously a long, where people queue up. And at the beginning, there's a huge bowl of apples, and one of the nuns had written, "Take only one, for God is watching you." Anyway, when it got to the other end, there was a huge bowl of chocolate chip cookies. And some child had written a note, "Take all you like, God is watching the apples." I know, I laughed when I read that one. But the thing is, God is watching both the cookies and the apples. And he knows what you're going to do. Have a handful, aren't you? But that's sin. That's sin, isn't it? And he will pick up on all those sort of things. I'm pleased to say that I am saved. Very, very pleased. I'm sure you are too. I would hate to stand in front of that great white throne, because you're already condemned and there's no second chance. There's no way back. There's nowhere in the Bible that said X million years down the road that God will try, you know, have you had enough? Would you like to come to us? Doesn't say anything like that, does it? One chance, one life, and one chance to do something about things. So I think that's enough sober talk about judgment. It will happen. No one's quite sure, but it is believed by commentators that it'll be just after the rapture, and we've all gone up because we shall all be together forever with the Lord, which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? So that's part one. So we come to awards. Now, I do assume that everyone here is born again. Whether I should make that assumption or not, I don't know, but I'm making it. I'm talking about us. And if not all of our works have been burned up and we've got some rewards to come, I looked up 5 golden crowns that we can win, which is good news, isn't it? And the first one, it's only going to be brief, don't worry, your lunch is safe. The first one is the victor's crown. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 26, "Do you not know that all who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I don't think that means that you'll lose your salvation being disqualified. Paul uses an athlete's example of self-denial and hard training to win a crown or a prize, whether you're in the mood or not. Now, those people who train to run or play a game, they have to do it seriously, don't they? You have to get out of bed in the morning and run X 1,000 miles and do weightlifting and all that sort of stuff. And there's no slacking up, is there? And if we want to obtain a victor's crown, we have to adopt a similar attitude. We have to work at it, grow at it. In my younger days, I used to be able to swim quite well, as it happened. I even played water polo and swim in galas and that sort of thing. And I had some wonderful, wonderful prizes. Really broke the bank to provide a little cup thing, you know, glass. Have we still got it? Yes, we have. Pride of place on the mantelpiece, so to speak. But I mean, you don't just go to a swimming gala after about 10 years without swimming. You practice, don't you? Whether you want to or not, and get cold in the water or not. And it was hard work. But this little glass, whatever it is going to perish one day. You could melt at any time with heat, couldn't you? But I want an imperishable crown. Do you? One that's not going to. I think the crowns will be golden, so I don't think God does plastic or anything like that. It's going to be a good one. So the next one is the crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope or joy? O crown of rejoicing, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This crown is given for playing a part in salvation of a soul. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, Paul says, I planted seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that most people are converted through a process. I know some people do get saved, maybe in a big rally or something like that. But generally speaking, it's over a period of time when somebody says, have you heard about the Lord, you know, or something like that. And so it progresses with different people. And finally, someone at the end brings them to the Lord. Actually, Sally and I used to do that. We used to be end counsellors at one of the churches we worshipped at. And do you know, it's wonderful. When you see someone's face light, you know, it's they're different. A new life has just started, and it's going on for eternity. And to think, I've been part of that, I can rejoice and love it. And I'm sure some of you have done the same thing, and it's truly wonderful. I would like that crown. Anyway, but that's down to Jesus. The third one then is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 reads, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. And this is a crown that all Christians can win. Paul was talking of endurance through many difficulties and setbacks, all the time looking and waiting for the Lord's return. Well, he's there. He's been there for 2,000 years nearly. But we are waiting for it. We have to wait until we die or the rapture. I do know one scripture in Romans 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and for the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So we already have the gift of righteousness. We have righteousness anyway, his righteousness, not ours. And so we're going to get a crown of it. Isn't that great? Number four, the crown of life. There's two scriptures for this, and the first one is James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's good. And the other one is Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, whatever we have to go through, we persevere, and we carry on right to the end of our life. Whatever happens, if we have a bad life and we persevere, yes. If we have a good life and persevere, yes too. The crown of life. I like that one. It's got a good ring about it, hasn't it? And the last one is the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's another good one, isn't it? I think most of that, for those who act as overseers, those who are in charge of a body of people, probably, who look after them. I know we've got two or three here, haven't we? And we also have Sunday school teachers. And anyone who counsels or helps another person through the Christian life will or should get that crown. But all of these crowns are not for keeping, because Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. When the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne forever and ever, 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We should do the same. Would you really want to keep a crown when you could do that to the Lord, who had done so much for us, each and every one of us? No. Well, it may be that there are hundreds of other categories that we're going to get rewards for that we don't know about. But I think the greatest reward will be to be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity, to praise and worship Him, and to serve Him in any way we can. Amen.